Okay, so we start with one time we do the homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. So this is the class on October 27th, 2014. And we are working through a new course in reading Pali. And we are on lesson 7. And there were a few more points in the grammar section. I believe we come to section 7. This is on page 103. And this is explaining the use of the locative case with the verb dati or didati, which means to give. And so with this verb, the locative case signifies that from which one gives or out of which one gives. And they give one example here, which occurs in verse. So it's dajja pa musmin, or it's dajja plus apasmin. Apasmin means it's a locative based on upa, which means a little bit. And so the locative apasmin would mean from the little bit or out of the little bit that one has. And so dajja apasmin, dajja is the poetic optative form one should give. And so dajja apasmin means one should give from the little that one has. Okay, that's all for that point. Then we come to grammar section number 8, which is the root ha. This is a irregular root. And let me get open a word file, a blank word file.
Hi.
Yeah. Hello.
How are you? Sorry, I was just posting something on the door.
Okay. Oh, let me share the screen with you. And then I need a blank file. We have a strainer?
No. But I have a spoon.
Okay, I could just take it out.
Okay. Yeah, let me rinse this.
Yeah. Okay, so the root of this verb is ha. Yeah, the root of this verb is ha with the long A, And then we form the ordinary indicative verb. It's a strange process of duplication, so it takes the prefix j, so the indicative becomes jahati, which means to give up, to renounce. Or to decrease. Also to decline. But most often, more often, we meet the verb form with the prefix pa. So we get pajahati, or sometimes pajahati. Both forms occur. So this means to abandon, and this is very common verb because it's used in relation to all of the defilements. So the defilements, sometimes it's said pahatava, that they're to be abandoned. And then we have the noun pahana, which means abandoning or giving up. Actually, they give in the book, they say pachahitaba, but that's not so common. More common is pahataba. And so you see the various verb forms based on the root ha. We have passive forms like hayati, then there's a prefix form vijahati, which also means to give up, to renounce. Pajahati, to abandon. Then the regular indicative is jahati, to give up, to discard. And hapeti, yeah, turn one. Oh, I see, I unplugged it.
Okay.
Yeah, it should reach. Okay, that's good. Yeah, then we have the causative form, hapeti, which means to cause to give up. Okay, so those are the present forms. Then we have the past forms, hayi, vijahi, etc. Present participle, past participle. So we have hina, and what's very common is the past participle based on pajahati, pajahita, what is abandoned, discarded. Then the gerund form, which you see most often, is based on pajahati, especially the form pahaya is more common. But we also have the form pajahitva. And then the gerund based on the simple verb jahati, very common is the form hitva. And then for the future passive participle, as I said, I don't recall ever seeing pajahitabha. The form that one finds most often is pahataba. P-A-H long A T-A-B-B-A. So any questions on this? Okay, if there's no questions, then I think we finished the grammar section. So let's return to the reading section. Last time we finished reading passage number 1, I believe, that's from the Kalama Sutta. So let's go to reading passage number 2. Okay, I'll read phrase by phrase, then you repeat after me. Nahang Brahmana. Sabbang ditang basi tabanti.
Sabbang ditang basi tabanti.
Vadami.
Vadami.
Nupanahang brahmana.
Nupanahang brahmana.
Sabbang ditang. Na basi tabanti vadami.
Na basi tabanti vadami.
Nahang brahmana. Let's put a full stop here. Then we'll take, because I think this can constitute a complete sentence in itself. Okay, so first we have nahung. What is this word, nahung? No, I'm asking, what is it? What is that? Right. Right, it's na plus ahung. So it's not I, and the na, which is the negation, goes with vadami. And vadami means I say. So na vadami means I do not say. Then brahmana is the vocative. He's speaking, the Buddha is speaking to a Brahmin. Okay, then sabbang means all. Then ditang means seen. Ditang is the past participle, meaning seen. And here it's functioning as a noun, though it's originally a past participle, but here it functions as a noun, meaning what has been seen. And it's taken in connection with sabbang. So sabbang means all or everything, and ditang means seen, and basi tabbang, what part of speech, what grammatical form is basi tabbang? Right, it's the future passive participle based on the verb basati, which means to speak. And so the Buddha is saying here, O Brahman, I do not say that everything that has been seen should be spoken about. And then he continues by saying nupanahang brahmana sabbang ditang nubasi tabanti vadami. So the pana, we have panahang. The pana is just a connective, meaning something like but. And so the Buddha is saying, but, O Brahman, I do not say that everything seen should not be spoken about. Okay, then comes the next sentence. Nahang brahmana. Now you repeat, nahang brahmana.
Nahang brahmana.
Sabbang Sutam. Basi Tabanti Vadami.
Basi Tabanti Vadami.
Nupanahang.
Nupanahang.
Brahmana.
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 Sabbang Sutam. Na basi tabanti vadami. So here the Buddha is saying, actually this sentence is the same as the previous one, except that ditang, what is seen, is replaced with sutang, which means what has been heard. So the Buddha is saying, I do not say, O Brahman, that everything heard should be spoken about, but I do not say, O Brahman, that everything heard should not be spoken about. Okay, then comes the next sentence. Again, you repeat. Nahang Brahmana.
Nahang Brahmana.
Sabbang Mutang Basi Tabanti.
Sabbang Mutang Basi Tabanti.
Vadami.
Vadami.
Nupanahang Brahmana. Sabbang Mutang.
Sabbang Mutang.
Na basi tabanti vadami.
Na basi tabanti vadami.
Okay, so this sentence is the same as the previous one, except that the subject is changed to mutang. So mutang means what has been thought. So the Buddha is saying, I do not say, Brahman, that everything thought should be spoken about, but I do not say, O Brahman, that everything thought should not be spoken about. And then comes the fourth statement. Nahang Brahmana.
Nahang Brahmana.
Sabbang Vinyatang.
Sabbang Vinyatang.
Basi Tabanti Vadami.
Basi Tabanti Vadami.
Nupanahang Brahmana.
Nupanahang Brahmana.
Sabbang Vinyatang.
Sabbang Vinyatang.
Nupasi Tabanti Vadami.
Nupasi Tabanti Vadami.
So here the Buddha says, I do not say, O Brahman, that everything known, the word vinyatang means known. So I do not say, O Brahman, that everything known should be spoken about, but I do not say, O Brahman, that everything known should not be spoken about. Okay, so here we have actually just one sentence structure, which is repeated four times, and the only thing that changes are the four subjects, which are ditang, that which is seen, sutang, that which has been heard, mutang, that which has been thought, and vinyatang, that which has been known. So any questions about this so far?
Bhante?
Yeah.
It's a little bit confusing. What's really the point?
The point will come out in the following paragraphs. So we'll see the point. But any question grammatically about this so far?
Yes, Bhante. What's the word T-I-T before the verb vadami? What's that?
Oh, okay, okay. You see, this is like as if the Buddha is making a direct quotation. So he's saying, I do not say, O Brahman. Okay, then comes, after that comes like a direct quotation, like he's making a pronouncement. Everything seen should be spoken about. Then for the next one, again, it's like a direct quotation or a declaration. I do not say, O Brahman. Then declaration. Everything seen should not be spoken about. Do you get the point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in English, we would translate normally, I do not say, O Brahman, that... We would say, I do not say, O Brahman, that everything seen should be spoken about. You know, so we put it indirectly. But in Pali, the style is to put it as though it were direct speech. I do not say, O Brahman, quote, everything seen should be spoken about. It's okay. Okay, let's continue. Now we'll see what the intention behind the Buddha's statement. Okay, again, I'm going to recite this phrase by phrase, and you repeat after me. Yung hi Brahmana. Ditang basato.
Ditang basato.
Akusala dhamma abhivadanti.
Akusala dhamma abhivadanti.
Kusala dhamma parihayanti.
Kusala dhamma parihayanti.
Eva rupang ditang.
Eva rupang ditang.
Na basi tabanti vadami.
Na basi tabanti vadami.
Okay, na basi tabanti vadami. Try to do it together. Na basi tabanti vadami.
Na basi tabanti vadami.
We just lost Duong Yen. They'll come back. Just wait a moment till they come back. Well, maybe I have to try to get them.
They're just giving me time to...
What is that?
That's okay. Nothing.
Seems that they're having trouble, though. Seems their line got interrupted because they're now offline. Okay, I'll just have to go into it, and when they come back, Well, the thing is, the same statement gets repeated over and over four times, so they'll catch it the second time. Okay, so taking yang hi brahmana ditang basato. So what grammatical form is basato? Can anybody identify that? Okay, basato, what grammatical form?
Kim,
what did...
Is past participle?
No.
The present participle.
Right, I think Suki said that. It's the present participle. What case? Right, it's genitive dative. It could be either one. I think it's actually genitive, but it functions somewhat like a dative. So this means for one speaking about that which has been seen. Then we have akusala dhamma abhivadanti. So the subject here, this is nominative plural, is akusala dhamma, which means unwholesome qualities, unwholesome mental states. Then abhivadanti means to increase. And then we have kusala dhamma parihayanti. Kusala dhamma means wholesome qualities, wholesome mental states, and parihayati, or here plural, parihayanti means to decrease, to diminish. And then we have avarupang. Avarupang means of this type, of this kind, and that goes with ditang. So this type of what has been seen, then na basi tabang means should not be spoken. Then vadami is I say. So putting it together, the Buddha is saying, let me first try to put this in completely normal English, then I'll try to explain the idiom. For what, if when one speaks about what has been seen, unwholesome qualities increase and wholesome qualities diminish or decrease, such a kind of seen object should not be spoken about, I say. Okay, so basato is the dative genitive present participle for one who speaks about what has been seen. If unwholesome qualities increase and wholesome qualities diminish, such kind of seen thing should not be spoken about, I say. So in other words, if one has seen something and when one speaks about it, then unwholesome mental states, like states of greed, hatred, conceit, jealousy, envy, ignorance increase, and wholesome qualities like kindness, compassion, generosity decrease, then the Buddha says one should not speak about that which one has seen. You know, if, for example, one has seen somebody doing something bad, but then one likes to, you know, slander the person who's done something bad, and when one starts speaking about it, then one gets a kind of joy, rejoicing in the faults of others, then one shouldn't speak about it, because maybe sympathy for others, compassion is diminishing, and delight in the faults of others, which increases one's own pride, one's own arrogance, those states start to increase, then one shouldn't speak about the faults of others that one might have seen. Okay, then comes the counterpart. It seems that this is written in the Burmese style. I'm going to put it in a more natural style. Yang ko asa cha brahmana. Ditang abhasato. Kusala dhamma parihayanti. Akusala dhamma abhivadanti. Eva rupang ditang. Basi tabanti vadami.
Basi tabanti vadami.
Okay, first we'll go it word for word. So we start with the yang, and yang actually goes with ditang, meaning that which has been seen. Then we have, in the book, we have this KHV, kv, but that's the Burmese way, I think, of writing ko. What happens, the O, in order to form a sandhi, turns into a V. But it's easier for me to say ko asa than kvasa. So the ko is just the connective, it's not really translatable. Then asa means for one. And the asa goes with abhasato. It's the dative genitive. Abhasato is the dative genitive present pronoun, and asa is the pronoun. Wait, I said abhasato is the dative genitive present participle, and asa is a pronoun going with abhasato. So for one not speaking about what has been seen, or when one does not speak about what has been seen, if wholesome qualities diminish, and unwholesome qualities increase, such a thing that has been seen should be spoken about, I say. So, to give an example, if you're in a school taking an exam and you see a friend, your friend is cheating on the exam, then you have a responsibility to tell the teacher. But if you think, he's my friend, I shouldn't tell the teacher about his cheating, then wholesome qualities in your mind will diminish, because your and unwholesome qualities will increase, because you're trying to protect your friend and you're not fulfilling your responsibility to report on somebody who is being dishonest. So in that case, the Buddha is saying, what has been seen should be spoken about. Okay, taking it again. So, for one who does not speak about what has been seen, if wholesome qualities diminish and unwholesome qualities increase, then such a thing that has been seen should be spoken about, I say. Do you understand? Any questions about this?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm adding the word if, because in English we need it to make sense. In Pali, it's not strictly necessary. So Pali, one could take either if or when. Either one would be okay. Or, well, let me see.
So, at the beginning, young he is just the emphasis?
Yeah,
not
he,
if.
Yeah, he is just gives some emphasis to it. Any more questions? Do you want me to give, if you want me to give further explanation, please say so. If nothing is said, then I'll just assume that it's understood. Okay, now this paragraph here is the model for the next three paragraphs. So the next three paragraphs are identical. The only thing that's different is sutang, what has been heard. So if you hear something, somebody tells you a bit of gossip, you know, which is slandering somebody, then when you repeat it, if unwholesome mental states increase and wholesome mental states decrease, then you shouldn't repeat that gossip to others. But if somebody gives you some important piece of information, even though it might be, say, information which is critical of a friend of yours, but if you don't pass that information on to a responsible person because you want to protect your friend, then unwholesome mental states will be increasing and wholesome mental states will be decreasing. In that case, one should speak about that which one has heard. Okay, then the third paragraph states the same thing for what one has thought. And the fourth paragraph for something one has known, something one has come to know. Okay, we don't have to go through those paragraphs in detail. The grammar is the same. The only thing that's different is the word, which is the subject of those sentences. So any questions on this passage?
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one more question.
Okay, please ask. Yeah, I don't know why Asa is in the second sentence, not in the first. Maybe it's just the stylistic feature. It would seem you could have Asa in the first sentence also, or even remove it from the second sentence, but maybe just for a stylistic reason. Yeah, I don't know the explanation for that, but I wouldn't be troubled by it over much. Okay, let us take now the verse. We'll go to paragraph or section 3, which are verses from the Dhammapada. Okay, so I'll recite this line by line. Satchang bhane nakujaya. Daja Pasmin piyachito. Etehi tihi tanehi. Gache devana santike. Okay, in the first line, we have two types of actions are described. First, sachang bane, which bane is a verb meaning to speak. And what form of the verb is this? What form?
Looks like past participle.
No, it's not past participle.
It's past.
Not past. Look at the second verb in the sentence. Right, it's the this is the short form of the optative. Let me see the Pali grammar. Let me just check the Pali grammar. Yeah. Okay, I have it.
It's on page 53.
Of the grammar. I say it on page, or it's in section 383, where they have the verb pachati, to cook. If you go down, you see the optative, then third person singular, we have the full form is pacheya, and then the short form is pache. One should cook. Do you see it? I have it on screen. You should be able to see it on screen. I just highlighted it. So it's bane is the optative, third person singular. One should speak. And satyang means truth. So one should speak truth. And then comes nukujaya, which is based on the verb kujati, to get angry. So this is the optative, third person singular optative, negated. So one should not get angry. Then the second line is daja pasminpi yachito. So yachito, what grammatical form is that? Kim? Right, this is a past participle, but here the past participle is representing a person. So it's one who is asked. The verb yachati means to ask for something. It doesn't mean to ask a question, but it's something like to request. So this means one who is requested. And then we have the optative form, daja, meaning should give. Then upasminpi, even from little. In other words, even if you have just a little bit, one should give. If one is asked. So even if you're down to your last dollar and somebody requests you for a donation, then at least you can give 25 cents. Or if you have just one pot of rice and then somebody comes on alms round, then you should give, you know, a spoon or a couple of spoons of rice, even if there's little. Then comes a tehi tehi tanehi. So what case is this? Say again? Instrumental singular, third person. First, I don't think nouns have first person, second person, third person. It's instrumental.
Instrumental singular.
Let's get the meaning. Okay, etehi means by these. Tanehi, tana has many meanings. Here we could say simply things or deeds. Okay. By these deeds, And then tihi means three. Tihi is the instrumental for three. So is it singular or plural?
Plural.
Yeah, because three has to be plural. So by these three deeds, then gacce is also that short optative singular. One can go, one may go. And then we have devana santike. Santike is indeclinable, which means into the presence of. And that goes with the genitive. And here it's genitive plural. Devanang, which means of the gods. But now this is a verse, so it has to fit the meter. So we drop, in order to fit the meter, they drop that final ung sound. You know, this woman is walking back and forth, talking loudly on the telephone. You can tell her that we're having a class, an online class here. Okay. Okay, so to fit the meter, that final ung drops off. So it just becomes devana. So we could understand that it's the same as devanang. So devanang santike means into the presence of the deities. So putting it all together, the whole verse, one should speak the truth. One should not get angry. When requested, one should give, even out of the little that one has. By these three deeds, one can go into the presence of the deities. Okay, any questions on this? Okay, shall we go on to the next verse? Next, any questions? Yeah.
What's the case of yachito?
Okay, good question. Yachito is nominative singular. So this is the person who is asked, but it's the subject, meaning one who is asked, one who is requested, that's nominative subject, should give even from a little, even if there is little.
Oh.
Got it?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, let's take the next verse then. Again, we'll go through line by line. Kaya pakopang rakkeya.
Kaya pakopang rakkeya.
Kayena sangvuto siya.
Kayena sangvuto siya.
Kaya duchari tung hitva.
Kaya duchari tung hitva.
Kayena su chari tung chare.
Kayena su chari tung chare.
Okay, let's go through line by line. Okay, first, kaya pakopang. Okay, kaya means body, and the noun pakopa means irritation or anger. And then the verb rakeya, what kind of verb is this?
Optative.
Right, it's the optative. How many persons? What person and number? Okay, singular and what person? Right, it's third person singular. So rakeya sometimes means to protect, but also it can mean to guard against or to control. So here, one should guard against or one should control anger of the body. That is, anger expressed through the body. You know, by hitting people, by punching one's fist, punching people with one's fist, hitting them with sticks, or even angry gestures with the arms. So one should guard against bodily irritation or bodily violence. Then kayena sangvuto siya. What case is siya? What kind of verb first? Actually, my question was wrong. What case is a wrong question? What kind of verb is this? Okay, it's optative singular. I think we had this verb before. Let me just check the...
Yeah, I think so too.
This is an optative based on the verb bhavati, actually on the verb ati, to be. The optative 7-1. 7. Yeah, you find this on page 101 in the grammar section. On the optative, you see the singular. We have the forms either asa or sia for third person singular. So this is the optative singular, third person singular. So it means one should be, and then sangvuto, what grammatical form is sangvuto? June? Right, it's past participle, which means restrained. And here, the past participle is being used together with the optative to mean one should be restrained. It's just like in English, where restrained is a past participle, but we could join the past participle in English with an optative form, should be. So one should be restrained, then kayena is what case? Yongshin fasha?
Instrumental.
Right, instrumental. So with the body, one should be restrained with the body. Then coming the third line, kaya duchari tung hitva. What grammatical form is hitva? Right, it's the gerund, which means having abandoned, having given up. And that is used with its object is kaya ducharitang. Ducharita is originally a past participle, but it comes to take on the meaning of a noun, meaning bad conduct. And kaya ducharitang means bad bodily conduct. So kaya ducharitang hitva means having given up bad bodily conduct. Then kayena su chari tung chare. So what kind of verb is chare? Suki?
Is it another optative?
Yeah, it's the optative, the short third person singular form. And it means, in this case, one should practice, one should act. And then its object is sucharitang, which is the opposite of ducharitang. So if ducharitang means bad conduct, sucharitang means good conduct. And so in this case, it's kayena, with the body. So one should practice good conduct with the body. So putting it all together, starting from the first line, one should control bodily irritation or bodily violence. One should be restrained with the body. Having abandoned bodily misconduct, one should practice good conduct with the body. Okay, you're back on.
There's some problem with our computer. It keeps rebooting, so I'm just using my... rebooting, I'm using my iPad.
Okay.
So we can listen it.
So everybody can follow now? Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to translate the next verse again, which is just the same as the previous one. Except that kaya, body, is replaced by vachi or vacha, speech. So here we don't have to recite it, but we have, one should guard against irritation or anger by speech. One should maybe mute the microphone because I'm getting some noisy sound. Some noise. Okay. One should guard against verbal anger or irritation by speech. One should be restrained by speech. Having abandoned verbal misconduct, one should practice good conduct by speech. Okay, so verses, the second and third verses, are structurally the same. The only thing different is the avenue or means of action. Okay, so let's go on to the next verse. So I'll recite and then you repeat. Yo panam uti pa te ti.
Pateti.
Right. Musa vadancha basati.
Musa vadancha basati.
Loke adinang adiyati.
Loke adinam adiyati.
Paradarancha gachati. And this actually continues on to the next verse. The two verses belong together. So we'll read them continuously. Sura Meriya Panat, Sura Meraya Panancha.
Sura Meraya Panancha.
Yo naro anu yunjati.
Yo naro.
Yo naro anu yunjati.
Idevam eso lokasmin. Idevam eso lokasmin. Mulang kanati atano. Okay, now let's go back to the beginning with Yo panam uti pa te ti. Okay, so first we have the pronoun yo, meaning one who. Then we have in prose, this would be broken up into two words, panang atipateti. Atipateti means to attack, to do violence against, especially it takes on the meaning to kill. And then the object of atipateti is panang, which means a living being. So one who kills a living being. And often in Pali, the singular is used, where in English we would use a plural. So in Pali it says, one who kills a living being. But in English we would say, one who kills living beings, in the plural. But the sense is the same. Then we have Musa Vadancha Basati. So here the verb is Basati, which means to speak. So one who speaks Musa Vada, which means false speech. So one who speaks false speech, or one who tells a lie. Then we have Loke Adinang Adiyati. So Adiyati is the verb meaning to take. One who takes Uddinang. Uddinang means what is not given. Then loke means in the world. It's just a kind of line filler to fill up the meter. So one who takes what is not given in the world, in other words, one who steals, and then the fourth line, para dharancha gachati. So dara usually means wife, but now because the Buddhist texts are generally formulated from the standpoint of the male, but nowadays we to make it gender equal we would say the spouse or partner. And then para means another person, and gacchati means to go. So one who goes to the partner or spouse of others, of other people. And of course, this doesn't mean that the mailman who comes to deliver the registered letter to another person's wife is doing something wrong, but paradharam gacchati means one who commits adultery or sexual misconduct. Okay, so here we have 1, 4, 2, 3. So here we have breaking of the first four precepts. The order is changed a little bit because in order to make it easier to fit into the meter. So one who breaks the precept against taking life, against deliberate false speech, against stealing, and against sexual misconduct. And then we have, continuing into the next verse, Sura Meriya Panancha. So Sura is like whiskey or liquor. Meriya is wine. And Pana is drink. So drinking, liquor, and wine. Then we have Yo Naro. So this is, originally Naro means a man, but let's take it gender neutral. Whichever person, then Anuyunjati means to act upon, to devote oneself to pursue, to practice. So whichever person practices drinking liquor and wine, as well as the first four transgressions, then we have the next line, Ida plus Eva. That means right here. And that is reinforced by locusmin in the world. Right here in the world. And then we have aso. Aso is the masculine pronoun meaning he. But let's take it in the gender neutral sense. That one, that person, right here in the world. And then you see Edeva Meso. You see there's an M between Eva and Aso. According to the note, the M here, they say the M is intrusive, which is a little strange way to put it. The M is what we call a conjunct consonant. That is, it doesn't have anything to do with the meaning, but it's just added because to make it easier to pronounce. So if we don't have the M, then we have to say Ideva Aso. So we get an abrupt change from Ava to Aso. But with the M, when reciting verse, you could say Ideva Meso Locusmin. Normally, in many of the printed editions, the conjunct consonant would be represented in this way. By putting hyphens before and after the M. So, Ideva means right here, and that goes with locusmin, in the world, right here in the world. Then Aso is that one, that person. And then Aso is the subject, and that goes with kunati, the verb, which means to dig up. And what one digs up is mulang, the root, utano, of oneself, or one's own root. And this is a kind of idiomatic expression in Pali. In English, we would say this person destroys himself, or this person inflicts harm on himself. So we could consider the mulang here to be the root of good qualities or the root of spiritual growth. And so the person, taking the two verses together, so the person who kills living beings and speaks false statements, who takes what is not given in the world, and who goes to the partners of other people, the person who indulges in drinking liquor and wine, right here in the world, this one digs up or destroys his own good root. Any questions about this? These two verses? Yeah.
But I have one question. Sura me raya panansa.
Yeah.
It will be sura me raya or sura me riya. How to pronounce?
Actually, the better pronunciation.
Because of when.
Yeah, is sura meriya pan.
When.
Yeah, sura meriya panancha. Yeah, me raya. I pronounce it that way, but it's wrong. It should be Sura Meriya Panancha.
Sura Meriya or Sura Meraya?
Yeah, Meriya, because it's a short A.
Okay.
But just, it seems that the rhythm of the verse, Aya, sounds better. Mm. But correctly, it's a short A. Sura Meriya Panancha. Any other questions? Okay, I think what we're going to do is... Actually, I think we could try to finish this part here. Okay. Now I'm going to read the next verse. Again, you repeat after me. Sache la beta. Nipa kang sahayang. Sading charang sadhu vihari dirang. Abhi bhaya sabani pari sayani. Chareya tenata mano satima.
Chareya tenata mano satima.
Yeah. And then we'll put a period after satima. Okay. Let's go to the first line. Sache means if. Then labeta, does anybody know what that is? Okay, this is a what's called the reflexive form or the middle form of the third person optative singular. Again, you'll see this in the grammar book in section 383, whoops, yeah, where they have the reflective voice, they show for the verb pachati, to cook, they have the present reflective voice, then you go down to the optative, yeah, not in the grammar book.
Oh, in the grammar book.
Not in the textbook, but in the grammar, which is only electronic.
Okay.
In section 383, you'll see pacheta. So labeta is the same form for the verb labati, to gain. So if one should gain, then nipakang means something like a wise, intelligent, and sahayang means companion. And what case is sahayang? What case?
It's accusative.
Right, it's accusative. And what number?
Singular.
Yeah.
Singular.
Right, it's singular. So if one should gain an intelligent or prudent companion, then the next line gives some descriptions of him. Sading charang sadhu vihari dirang. So sading charang means what? It's almost the same thing as companion. It's like sudding means together with, and charang means moving. So one with whom one moves together with. What is another good synonym for companion?
Friend.
Yeah, the thing is we have other words for friend. We don't have so many words for... Let's just see what the thesaurus will give. Yes, not such good words. Buddy, mate, chum, cohort. In English, we have a shortage of good words for friend.
But moves together with maybe is more like gets along well with or is consistent with.
Well, here I have... Maybe companionable is all right, yeah. Here I have travel companion, fellow traveler, but that took on a special meaning under the communist regime. Okay, let's say a wise companion, a traveling companion, then sadhu vihari means one who is good to live with. And dirang also means wise, intelligent. In English, we have shortage of words for certain. Let's see what the glossary has. Yeah, the glossary gives one who is of noble behavior, one who is steadfast. Okay, we'll just say one who is steadfast. Okay, so if one should get or find a wise companion, a traveling companion who is steadfast, of good behavior. Then we have abhibhaya. Anybody know what grammatical form this is?
Looks like it's a
gerund.
That's the optative, right?
No. Gerund. Yeah, Ayasatuska has it. It's a gerund or absolutive. If you look at the glossary, just below, when you look at the verb abhibhavati, then you see the gerund is abhibhaya. And it means, the verb abhibhavati means overcomes. So this is having overcome. And then parisaya means obstacle. So having overcome all obstacles, then we come to the fourth line, chareya. What grammatical form is that, June? Chareya? No. Let's see. Let's get some of our Chuang Yen group. Venerable Yongshen? Yongshen Fasha? Chareya. I didn't hear. Say again. Ablative? Chareya.
Did they say optative?
Say it again. Optative, that's right. It's the optative for the verb. It's the optative of the verb. So it means to in this case, to travel, to wander. Sometimes charity means to act, to practice. Sometimes it means to wander, to walk, to travel. So here the Buddha is speaking about wandering monks. So we have chareya tena. Tena means it's the pronoun. What case is it? Wu Lin Fasha, what case? Tena. K Carolyn? What case?
She said it.
What did she say?
Instrumental, I
think. Did you hear that?
I think she, yeah.
Say again.
Instrumental.
Oh, right. That's right. It's instrumental. So chareya means one should travel with him. Yeah. One should travel with him. Then uttamano is an adjective meaning happy or pleased. And satima means mindful. So happy and mindful, one should travel with him. So putting it all together, if one should find a wise companion, a traveling companion who is of good behavior and steadfast, having overcome all obstacles, happy, mindful, one should travel with him. Okay, then the next verse, I'm just going to translate. We don't have to recite
okay.
it. Yeah? Kim?
What does it mean by overcome all obstacles? What does the Buddha refer to?
I'm not really sure. Anything that might prevent one from traveling together with that person. But the text doesn't specify. You just have to figure it out by reflection. Okay, the next verse... The first two lines are almost the same, except it begins in the negative. No che labeta nipakang sahayang. So notice, when we have the word sache, meaning if, it comes at the beginning of a sentence. But when we have the short form, che, it never comes at the beginning of a sentence. So here it has to follow the negation, no. So no means not, and it becomes, the O makes it emphatic rather than N. So if one does not find a wise companion, a traveling companion of good behavior and steadfast, then Rajava Ratang Vijitang Pahaya a kochare matangaranyeva nago. So here we have Raja. Raja is a king. Then we have the V. V stands for Eva with an I. It's because of Sandhi, the eye drops off, and it means like. Then we have Ratang, means a realm. Vijitang means conquered. And then we have Pahaya. Pahaya is the gerund, meaning having abandoned. So like a king having abandoned a conquered kingdom. Then the last line, a kochare matangaranyeva nago. Here, naga, the word naga usually means a big, powerful creature. Sometimes it means a dragon. Other times it means an elephant, a powerful elephant. Here it means a powerful elephant. Then Aranya is a forest. And then the word matanga plus aranya, this means a forest that is inhabited by elephants, or an elephant forest. So matang aranyeva nago means like a big elephant in an elephant forest, a kochare. What kind of verb is chare? Sagarakantu?
It's not there.
Not there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's the adjective.
Right. One should wander. Echo, alone. Echo means one, but it also means alone. So taking the whole verse together, if one does not get or find a wise companion, a traveling companion who is of good behavior, steadfast, like a king having abandoned a conquered realm, one should wander alone like an elephant in the elephant forest, like a bull elephant in an elephant forest. Okay, any questions?
Yeah. Matanga is a proper name?
I think so. I think the only place where it occurs, I think, is in this verse. So don't worry about it. You won't see it again and again. It might be the name of a particular forest. But according to the glossary, it says Matanga is a type of elephant, but I doubt that. I'd have to look in the commentary on this, but I don't have time right now. But maybe we could take it as the proper name of that forest. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mate.
Okay, I think we'll have to stop now, and then we'll get next week. The class will be given from the library itself in person. Okay, so let's do the closing bows to the Buddha, three bows. Okay, we do bow once, twice, three times. Okay. Okay, good day. Okay.
Thank you, Bhante. Have a safe trip home.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
I'm sorry.